What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhatan Friday, and whatever insanity is due in store for us. We have a lot to talk about today, and as usual, I'm going to talk news until I run out of news, and at that point, we'll open up the phone lines and let you get on the air with your comments, questions, observations, and opinions here. So getting right on into it, as you're all probably aware, the big tech companies, Google, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, have taken it upon themselves to impose censorship on the traffic going through their platforms. And there's a very liberal bias. There's an anti-conservative bias. And finally, Congress has called them on it. So right now, the heads of these companies are in a congressional hearing, or have been in a congressional hearing all morning, trying to justify what they're saying. And they basically come down to the same way. There's no deliberate intention to censor conservatives. It's just the way the algorithms work out. Well, somebody wrote those algorithms. And I remember there was this one member of Congress who was saying that, you know, once he got elected to Congress, you know, this last year, all of a sudden he's getting complaints from his constituents that in their Gmail accounts, his campaign email is going to the junk folder. And he said, why is this happening? And the executive that they were talking to at the time says, well, you know, we're trying to give people what they want. And people in Gmail, they want email from friends and family that they know personally, and they don't want the rest of this stuff. And the guy came back and said, yeah, but this is email they signed up for, you know, as part of our campaign. And why isn't this happening to the liberals? And the guy said, well, it's just the way the algorithms are written. Okay, who wrote the algorithms? Let's get them on that witness stand. Let's find out who it was who said, you're going to write the algorithms to do this. Because anybody with a brain and two eyes looking at what's going on knows there's an anti-conservative bias in all of these companies. There's also an anti-truther bias. I mean, you know, right now, big tech is censoring doctors who express politically incorrect viewpoints about coronavirus. We all saw what happened with that video of these two doctors out there saying that hydroxychloroquine really does work. And all of a sudden was just vanished, double plus ungood. So they're talking about in Congress that these companies represent monopolies, and that it may be time to invoke existing law to break them up, the way Ma Bell was broken up. And I know that when Ma Bell was broken up, it caused a lot of problems temporarily. But in the long run, it did result in competition, which lowered prices and improved service. And I really do feel that the public discourse needs to have an open platform out there and not be shuttled through gatekeepers who very clearly are imposing their own personal political agendas on the content. So Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google CEOs reported to Capitol Hill, and Jeff Bezos, who's still smarting from his divorce, and Mark Zuckerberg will insist Amazon and Facebook are truly American companies that do face competition. One of the other things they said is America needs big monopolistic companies as much as they need small businesses. That's going to be a hard sale. Speaking of Jeff Bezos, his ex-wife Mackenzie ditches her married name, apparently is using her middle name as her last name because she didn't like her maiden name. She got $60 billion with a B in the divorce. She's already donated $1.7 billion of it to charities in the past year, with the bulk of it going to racial equity. Not sure exactly what that means. Is she paying the reparations that everybody keeps demanding for? And everybody is, as interesting as today's hearing is with big tech, it lacks the fireworks of yesterday's hearing with Attorney General William Barr. And, I mean, it got just silly. It was nothing but vitriol and accusation and nobody's discussing the facts. At one point, Barr asked for a 5-minute break to go to the restroom, and Nadler said, no, you just sit there, you know, wet yourself or something. And Barr said, you know, you're a real class act, which is an apt description of what was going on here. So during the hearings yesterday, there was a video that was showing the violent side of protests, because the Democrats and the corporate media are still trying to push this idea that these are peaceful demonstrations against police brutality and that all this talk about violence out in Portland is a myth. We were talking about that yesterday, where the official talking points is the stories about violence and people getting hurt and people getting killed and places being burned and vandalized. It's all a myth that's in Washington, D.C., and it's not really happening. They're really trying to sell that one. So during Barr's hearing yesterday, they ran a video showing how violent these demonstrations really are. And the video began with clips of more than a dozen media outlets and Democratic leaders describing the wave of anti-racism demonstration as peaceful protests, followed by the widow of retired St. Louis police captain David Dorn speaking about the murder of her husband by a looter on June 2nd. Then they had video of rioting, looting, and arson that began to play with the widow's speech continuing. It was a very well-done video. And, of course, the Democrats and the media are out there saying, oh, how could you do that? You know, you're putting a false face on all the violence here, because we know there's no violence here, because we told you there's no violence here. How dare you gainsay us? How dare you prove that we're lying to the American people? You're not supposed to do that. That's against the rules we just made up. So this doesn't look like it's going to quiet down. And of course, this is working against the Democrats. And I know the Democrats are confident they're going to steal this election in November with the vote from home situation. But, you know, they were confident they were going to steal the election back in 2016. And they didn't. They came close. But in the end, the American people simply shouted down the cheaters. And we've got to do that again. You know, ignore the polls. They were doing the same thing to Trump back in 2016. Oh, Hillary's going to win. She's got 90 and plus percentage points, and Trump is just going to go nowhere. And he wound up winning the office. And Hillary whooped on her campaign manager for a while, had to be pulled off of him. So they're going to double down and try it again. And very obviously, the vector that they're going to use is the COVID-19. They're trying to keep that, the fear-mongering, going to November so that nobody will vote in public polling places. In fact, I saw this interesting article, you know, about things that you could do that increase your danger of being infected by COVID-19. And there on the list was, you know, voting in a public voting poll, a polling station. And so they're already out there selling this idea. Just stay at home and fill out the vote by mail form and we'll take care of it from there on out, which means that, you know, they're going to cheat. The Democrats, the liberals, cannot win the election on the merits and on the arguments because they don't have any arguments. They have violence. They got lots of violence out there. Vote for us or we'll torture business. It's a lousy way to be running an election. And they're going to try and cheat, because that's what they did before. Anyway, getting back to our domestic politics here, apparently there's been a new release of declassified documents regarding the Christopher Steele dossier on Donald Trump. And apparently in these documents, it reveals that the FBI was pushing to include the Steele accusations in their report, even though they were unvetted and unconfirmed. Now, that's not normally the way these things are supposed to work. In final reports, you're supposed to have verifiable, confirmed facts. And in this case, the FBI was going with all these accusations in the Christopher Steele dossier, which we now know was just completely made up out of thin air, including the stories about the prostitutes. It was a coup d'etat attempt, failed miserably. And I don't understand why Donald Trump is just sort of kicking back with this relaxed attitude about it. Yeah, he's still the president. But, you know, if somebody tries to knock you off the throne, you have to respond, and you have to respond forcefully, or they're going to try again. I'm sure they're all sitting out there saying, well, we got away with it the first time. Let's, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Now, apparently, former Barack Obama advisor Valerie Jarrett was grilled on the Steele dossier and the FBI spying on the Trump campaign live on TV, but tried to dodge the topic altogether, earning comparisons to Hillary Clinton from conservatives. Now, remember back on Benghazi when Hillary Clinton was testifying and she said, at this point, what does it really matter? or I think the actual quote was, "What at this point doesn't matter." And so Valerie Jarrett, when confronted by a Fox Business anchor, said, "Why? I don't understand why our focus isn't on what's happening right now." In other words, you know, forget about what was happening back in 2016 and 2017 and 2018. It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, it does matter. It does matter when a small group of individuals within the FBI and the Department of Justice and the CIA decide they know what's better for this country than 330 million Americans. That does matter, because that's what changes this from being a republic with a democratically elected leadership into being a dictatorship or an oligarchy. And yes, all governments are oligarchies to one extent or another. But I don't want the CIA deciding who's going to be running the government. I don't want the FBI deciding who's going to be running the government. I want to decide who's going to be running the government, along with 330 other million Americans. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what we signed up for. That's our side of the contract with America, is that we have honest, fair, verifiable elections. And we're not getting them. We're being cheated. We're being taxed without our due representation. And in the school where I, you know, first learned about such things, about American history, taxation without representation was grounds for an armed revolution. Now, the other day we were talking about how Hulu is putting together a TV show about Hillary Clinton that represents an alternate history of what her life would have been like if she had not married Bill Clinton. And needless to say, it is drawing all kinds of abuse and ridicule all over social media. It's already being panned. It's not even out. And already people are saying this is ridiculous. So this follows Hulu's docuseries Hillary, which premiered earlier this year. So Hillary is trying to find some way to get herself back in the public eye. And even though it doesn't look like she's going to be the vice president under Biden, she's going to try something. I absolutely think she's going to try something. And that'll probably be at the convention next month. And I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping somebody got to her and said, "You're too ill. You're too hated. You know, you had two chances. You blew it. It's time to move on." But I'm sure Hillary's going to come on back and say, "You can't want Biden as your candidate. Trump will eat him alive." They're still trying to figure out a way that they can avoid having a direct debate. Trump's already agreed to three debates against Biden. And Biden has had to sort of say, "Yeah, I'll go along with that." But they're already talking about, well, you know, there's the COVID-19 and we really ought to rethink about having the debates there. By the way, you remember the other day I was talking about Biden was supposedly answering random questions from reporters and, you know, giving answers extemporaneously, but there were still teleprompters there in front of him. And apparently he did have a list of approved reporters that he was going to go to one at a time. So, yeah, they were feeding him pre-planned questions to which he had pre-planned answers, or they were on the teleprompters. So, as I said before, Trump is a disappointment. If the Democrats had come up with a really good candidate like Tulsi Gabbard, I'd be voting for her. But I can't, in good conscience, vote for Joe Biden, regardless of who his VP turns out to be. The leaks are saying Kamala Harris. Now the Biden campaign is pulling back and saying maybe, maybe not, trying to build the suspense, I guess. But supposedly next week they're going to make the big official announcement here. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this desire to be offended and to see racism everywhere. Apparently, the New York Times did a story on the city seal for New York City and claiming that one of the artifacts shown in the seal represents a noose. It's a noose. They're racists. They're, you know, it's a noose. They were going to hang somebody. Oh, how racist could you be? Well, it turns out, and this is, by the way, on the city's website where they show the seal and explain what the symbology is, it's not a noose. It's a plumb bob that was used to basically measure the level of water in the wells. It's not a noose. It doesn't even really look like a noose, but oh my goodness, I see a noose. I can make a big deal about it. They're over at the New York Times. So they've been taken to the woodshed, and they should. So there's this desire to see racism where it doesn't really exist. Okay, getting on back to the protests and everything. It's, what, 2 months now out in Portland, you know, of peaceful protests that have resulted in deaths and injury and vandalism and buildings being burned. But it's peaceful. Trust us, it's peaceful. You know, the only people who think that those protests are violent, you know, are dangerous, dangerous right-wing fanatics who want their law and order. But Ted Cruz is out there saying Democrats are letting their cities burn. That's true. Time they paid the price. And as the summer of 2020 spirals into more street violence by rioters posing as protesters against police violence, there's the irony. The police are violent, therefore we're going to be violent. Anyway, the Republican senator is pushing one way to hold Democratic officers responsible for allowing the continuing chaos, and that's exactly what's happening. And there's something that you might want to have as a personal talking point. As you talk about the upcoming election, not just the president, but members of Congress, members of the Senate, and just say, look at what the Democratic leadership allowed to happen in these cities for political gain. Do you want that happening to the nation as a whole? Because that's exactly what will happen. Look what happened when Hillary lost in 2016. They rioted everywhere. And it was always the liberal Democrats who were causing the damage. The conservatives don't get out there and kick over trash cans and set things on fire. It's always the liberal Democrats, because they're following, you know, what their leaders are saying it's permissible to do. Now, speaking of Democrats and terrorism, apparently Antifa and Black Lives Matter protesters, you know, they've been using fireworks, you know, including some of those mortars, which can cause concussions and stuff. Apparently, they're now packing their fireworks bombs with nails to make them more lethal, more damaging. And apparently, Black Lives Matter protesters attacked the Atlanta field office of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement with nails embedded in fireworks bombs. That is really serious stuff. That's assault with a deadly weapon, in my opinion. It's certainly assault, whether the weapon is considered deadly or not. So why aren't these people being arrested? Why are they not being given their stainless steel cufflinks and marched off to jail? That's what I want to know. So far up in New York City, the New York City Police Department said 303 law enforcement vehicles have been damaged since George Floyd's death on May 25th, resulting in nearly $1 million in damage. You know, at this point, George Floyd's death is almost an afterthought. It almost doesn't really matter anymore. This thing has just taken on a life of its own. And it's a very dangerous, dark life here. All right, so let's talk about Joe Biden. And gently make fun of him here. Apparently, Biden held a campaign event in Wilmington, Delaware again. Came out of his basement, saw his shadow, which means we're going to get 6 more weeks of idiocy. And welcomed people who came to his campaign event to the wrong community center. Then he tried to recover from it, saying that he was just joking. At one point, he said, let me get my list here, which was a tacit admission that there was an approved list of reporters from which he was to take all questions. All stage managed. All stage managed. Okay, Biden's speech notes remind him he holds no grudges against the talented California senator as Politico publishes technical error declaring she is his choice. So the leak is definitely out there. And, you know, Biden could do worse. Like I said, I'm just anybody but Hillary. Anybody but Hillary. And I still wouldn't count her out of this race, even if Biden does pick Kamala Harris. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. We're going to pause here, and we'll be back with more news after these few words.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
Welcome back to our show here, and a reminder that Republic Broadcasting and WhatReallyHappened.com are in the middle of perpetual fundraising campaigns, and the reason is very simple. The equipment breaks down. It wears out. I'm in the middle of overhauling this studio out here in Santa Claus. RBN is in need of a five-second delay due to some misbehavior by some of our callers, and we need your help to do it. Jeff Bezos' ex isn't going to be donating any of her billions to us, but we rely on advertising and we rely on you to keep us on the air doing what we're doing. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. And seriously, those of you who've donated, who are keeping us on the air, a heartfelt thanks, very much so. Okay, let's talk about the next coronavirus aid bill, if you will, the coronavirus package. It's another $1 trillion. And it's being argued over in Congress. And a lot of people are saying this one's dead on arrival. Because first of all, they're taking the $600 unemployment benefit and lowering it back to 200. Mnuchin is out there saying we're not going to use taxpayer money to pay people more to stay at home, which is a factor. In a country where everybody's working for minimum wage, it doesn't take much more than that to convince people not to bother trying to find a job here. Anyway, there's going to be another round of $1,200 checks to be sent out in August if this package passes, but it's facing an uphill battle. For one thing, there's some $20 billion in this new package set aside for the Pentagon for weapons acquisition, of which $7 billion is set aside for the purchase of additional F-35 fighter jets. And what does that have to do with the hardship of the American people resulting from the coronavirus? Then on the liberal side, you have money that's going to go to Harvard, money that's going to go to the Kennedy Center. And if you look at this money that's going on out there, I heard this commercial that made a very valid point. And that was that just the money going to the Kennedy Center, which Nancy Pelosi's all in favor of, if Nancy Pelosi were to take that same money back to her constituents, she could feed and house all of the city's homeless population for that much money. So there's an illustration of where her priorities lie. Okay, story coming on out of BBC. The millions hanging by a thread as the coronavirus aid expires. And it is expiring, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. The eviction moratorium expired last Friday. There's talk of it being extended. So far, that hasn't happened yet. So, let's see. A lot of people out there just barely getting by. Okay, COVID-19 relief bill sets aside $7 billion on weapons, including F-35 jets. Sanders calls it dead on arrival. Okay, Schumer is out there fuming over what he calls the GOP HEALS Act, and he demands an avalanche of stimulus, meaning more money, to avoid a piecemeal solution. After Mitch McConnell confirmed earlier reports on Monday that the GOP bill would drop the $600 per week bonus unemployment stimulus to $200 and includes another $1,200 in direct payments to American adults, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer took to the Senate floor and stomped on his crayons, calling the Republican proposal unworkable. So once again, they're playing politics with the lives of the American people. They don't really care about you. It's just about scoring points against the other side here. So let's talk a little bit more about the economy in general. Bitcoin surges over $10,000, could surpass $15,000, digital currency experts say. Bitcoin prices were taking flight Monday, pushing the digital currency to the highest level in about 2 months and ending the long dormancy of the world's number one virtual asset. Bitcoin, the largest and most influential cryptocurrency, shot past the key 10,000 resistance marker. All eyes are now on the critical 10,500 level. Bitcoin's BTCUSD 2.89% recent rally to 10,237 took it to around its highest level since June 1st, based on spot prices. There we go. All righty. Article coming on out of Global Research in Canada. It's futile. We're feudal, with a D. The super rich own the two-party, one-party system, social inequality in America. As of a year ago, Walmart's CEO pay was 1,076 times that of their average worker worldwide. These workers average $21,952 a year with little or no major benefits, sometimes none at all. The Nike CEO receives 379 times the pay of his median employees at $29,000 a year, actually just under $30,000, not even the lowest worker. Those Air Jordan or LeBron sneakers equals 3 to 4 days pay for the aforementioned U.S. workers. Okay, we got to take a break for commercial. We'll be back after a few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Welcome back to our show here, and we're talking about the economic news here. Apparently, Oprah Winfrey is closing the print edition of O Magazine after 20 years with the embattled Hearst Publications. And apparently, a big part of the problem, besides really not making a lot of money with it, apparently the president of O Magazine had to resign amid sexual harassment allegations. So they're going to cease printing after its December 2020 issue, according to reports. This article implies that there'll still be an online presence here. Now, as long as Amazon is in the hot seat there before that House committee right now, there's another story. This one came out from Blacklisted News. And apparently, over the years, Amazon has invested in a lot of startups and gaining their proprietary information. And this helps Amazon to crush smaller companies by launching similar products in the market that end up competing with the ones the startups launched. This was originally reported by the Wall Street Journal's Dana Mattioli and Cara Lombardo. The journalist spoke with many founders, investors, and advisors of different startups who said Amazon met with or invested in their companies only with the sole motive of later building its own products that directly competed with the smaller company. And owing to the popularity of Amazon, the Amazon-made products often went on to crush the competition and the smaller companies. Living Social, a deals website in which Amazon took a 30% stake, says it began requesting the access of the company's data. It even hired away some of the employees and contacted Living Social's clients, offering them better deals. Okay, we talked about this a couple of days ago, about these strange packets of seeds that are coming in the mail from China, and everyone's saying, oh, it's some kind of an attack, and the packages were identified as jewelry, and there were seeds inside, and they're still saying, don't plant the seeds, we don't know what's in them, but it's beginning to look like this was some kind of a marketing gag by the company in China, where they wanted to basically sort of create the illusion of a global presence, and I'm not sure about the fine details, but it looks like it was a marketing ploy that went wrong here. So the Washington State Department of Agriculture wrote about the phenomenon on their Facebook page and said the seeds are being shipped in packaging that identifies the contents as jewelry. So is it agricultural warfare? Well, at this point, no, they don't think so. But they're saying don't plant the seeds anyway because we can't tell with those Chinese people. Heaven alone knows what they're up to now. Speaking of China, we keep seeing all these articles, and this is very, very worrying. This is from Bruce Wiles, blogspot.com. China's massive Three Gorges Dam on the edge of failure. Apparently, the water level is already something like 6 meters above what is considered the break point. And more water is pouring in from Tibet. And the dam is in peril. It's one of the world's largest. It's 1.5 miles long, 600 feet tall. About 400 million people live downstream of the dam, and apparently no plans have been made for their evacuation. If that dam lets go, the flood surge is going to go right through Wuhan, and it'll go all the way out to Shanghai. And I hope it doesn't happen, because the economic devastation, along with the real world devastation, will be bad for China and ultimately the world itself because of our interlinked economies. Turning to the international news now, pressure for sanctions against Turkey increases as tensions with Greece grow. Divided on how to deal with Turkey, some European leaders are calling for sanctions and others are calling for a reset in Euro-Turkish relations. French President Macron and the German chairman of the parliamentary group of the European People's Party, Manfred Weber, have been in a hurry in recent days to push for sanctions against Turkey because of its provocations against Greece and Cyprus. Now, a Turkish magazine is calling for a revival of the caliphate, return of the caliphs, if you will, here. The Turkish Bar Association has filed a criminal complaint against pro-Islam magazine Gurkek Hayat for instigating hatred and called for an armed rebellion against the Turkish government. So, anyway. Okay, there's a video out there, and it shows Iran practicing for an attack on a U.S. aircraft carrier. And they actually built a mock-up of a Nimitz-style carrier. It's not full-scale, of course. But they went on out and they shot it with missiles and they did helicopter assault onto the flight deck, speedboats around it and everything. And I don't know how realistic that is because most aircraft carriers have their fleet auxiliaries around them and this did not. But it certainly looks impressive on video, and maybe that was the whole point of this. All right, we are seeing more tensions along the Lebanese-Israeli border. I'm seeing tensions everywhere. It's just everybody wants a war. They're just waiting for a starting time. Somebody's got to get up there with the green flag and say, all right, start your engines. Whoa, we'll go. Along with Iranian military advisors and Russian air support, Hezbollah fighters are involved in aiding Syria combat U.S. aggression, including its ISIS, al-Nusra, and other jihadist proxies. Israeli airstrikes in Syria killed Hezbollah fighters before. Its leadership vowed to retaliate against Israeli aggression when any of its personnel are harmed. For days, tensions along the Lebanese-Israeli border remained heightened. Remember what Rodney King said, can't we just all get along? Now, Netanyahu is threatening Hezbollah after the group denies infiltrating the Lebanon border. And Netanyahu is saying, do not repeat this mistake. He's saying, do not test our military Defense Minister Benny Gantz has promised a powerful response after a bout of shelling on the Israel-Lebanon border. Although witnesses from Lebanon contacted by Reuters verified the Israeli story, Hezbollah officials denied an infiltration attempt, saying in a statement that Israeli forces had taken nervous action and fired upon the Shabaa farms themselves. Now, here's a good one. Not too long, well, actually, it was a long time ago, 1994, July 18th, there was a bombing at the Argentine-Israeli Mutual Association Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires. And it was one of the worst pre-9/11 terrorist attacks in the Western Hemisphere, killing 85 and injuring 300. Now, since then, the U.S. and Israeli governments have blamed Iran for the bloodshed, citing it as primary evidence of Tehran's role as the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. However, apparently there is a police spy who has come forward with testimony indicating that it may have been an inside job and that Iran had nothing to do with it. Imagine my shock and surprise on that one. So after the bombing, the U.S. and Israel placed pressure on the Argentine government to implicate Iran. At the time, however, officials in the embassy in Buenos Aires were well aware there was no evidence to support such a conclusion. It was a false flag attack. So in 2014, the public learned that a former spy who had infiltrated the Jewish community in Buenos Aires on behalf of Argentina's federal police had revealed to two investigative journalists that he'd been ordered to turn over blueprints to the building to his federal police case officer. And he was convinced the building plans were used by the real culprits behind the bombing. Oh. Story out of Global Research again. Is this the beginning of the U.S.-Iran hot war? Well, they certainly have wanted one for a very, very long time. Well, Israel certainly has wanted one as long as somebody else fights it for them. Americans should not blame others in vain, Iranian General Ismail Ghani has declared. This is a fire they have lit and today has engulfed them. Ghani, a veteran military commander who heads the Quds Force, the branch of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps responsible for extraterritorial operations, was speaking about the massive fire that had overtaken a U.S. Navy vessel in San Diego, the Bonhomme Richard, which, by the way, their Navy is being sued by San Diego for the toxic fumes coming from that fire. Anyway, the provocative remarks came amid signs of a new level of covert warfare being waged against Iran. The country had been beset by its own mysterious infernos and explosions, including at parks, medical clinics, power plants, ports, factories, a missile production compound, and the nuclear facility. The latter has been attributed to Israel by a source speaking to the New York Times. Again, imagine my shock and surprise here. All right, getting on over to France and Turkey, who are making stink face at each other. A confrontation between the two NATO states, France and Turkey, continues to trouble the Mediterranean region. Egyptian forces are mobilizing, and many other military players are continuing operations there. In March of 2011, during a hectic weekend, the French delegation to the UN Security Council managed to convince all other member states of the council to support Resolution 1973. It was all about the humanitarian corridor for Benghazi, which was considered the good opposition by the government of Nicolas Sarkozy. One of his whisperers was the controversial philosopher Bernard-Henri Lévy, who supported a French intervention. Lévy, fond of the humanitarian war, found a congenial partner in Sarkozy. Okay, China's getting ready to build a new assault carrier, and it's called the Type 076 Landing Helicopter Dock. It's a variant of that type of warship that combines a helicopter carrier, a catapult aircraft launching system, and a docking area for amphibious landing craft. If they can pull it off, it's going to be a formidable platform. And apparently, they're going to have an electromagnetic catapult for the launching of drones. So that's an ambitious, ambitious plan, if they can pull that off. Okay, this is a very troubling article. This is from Zero Hedge. A U.S.-China military conflict deemed highly likely to almost certain over the next 3 years. I saw another article along the similar way, vein saying 1 year. But let's go with 3 years for right now. A top independent Australia-based think tank, which regularly advises the Canberra government, has produced a risk assessment studying the likelihood of America and China going to war. involving defense experts around the world. The study was undertaken on the heels of the U.S. sending two carrier strike groups to sail through the South China Sea in a provocative freedom of navigation operation. Given that normalization with China, a longtime foreign policy emphasis which goes back to Nixon and Carter, appears to have gone out the window during the latter half of the Trump administration, there's lately been much forecasting on the potential for the U.S. and China to stumble into war. I'd like to point out at this point, you know, both parties are nuclear armed. So we ended World War II with nuclear weapons. World War III may be started with nuclear weapons. So it's just crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. All right, we got some other random stories here. Apparently, an outbreak of salmonella across 23 U.S. states has sickened hundreds of people, resulting in an investigation by the CDC. Oregon has so far reported the most cases of salmonella, 51, with a total of 212 people infected across the states as of July 23rd. The outbreak is rapidly growing in size. A specific food item, grocery store, or restaurant chain has not been identified as the source of infections yet. So stay tuned for more information about that. Okay. So here's another article. This one is from the Daily Mail in Great Britain. Magic mushrooms should be made legal in the same way as cannabis so they can be used to treat depression, according to leading doctors. Leading experts have called for a change in the law to allow shrooms to be used in a similar way as medicinal cannabis. But they said recreational use would remain illegal, with Brits caught in possession of the Class A drug facing a jail term of up to 7 years. Scientific studies have repeatedly shown psilocybin, the psychoactive chemical in magic mushrooms, has promised in boosting mental health, fighting off depression, and helping PTSD sufferers. That's one of the things that our war on drugs tends to blind us all to. Some of these substances do have legitimate medical purposes. I remember back when ecstasy was first available, MDMA, and it hadn't been made illegal yet, and therapists were using it because their patients could look at themselves in their own lives without any fear or recrimination, and it accelerated the therapy process. But of course, the government said, oh, they're having too much fun. We've got to make this illegal here. All righty. Let's see. This happened yesterday. We had a bunch of asteroids pass by us. We're still here. One of them came in about one-tenth the distance from the Earth to the Moon. But as I said, we're still here. Not the end of the world. All righty. There's this Playboy Russian hacker who has broken into Garmin, infected them with ransomware. This guy is 33 years old. He runs an organization called Evil Corporation. He has a $5 million FBI bounty on his head, and he should be easy to spot because he drives a Lamborghini. But apparently he's crippled Garmin with millions of users for the fifth day, and he wants $10 million to restore it. So tens of millions of people around the world have found their Garmin devices, including those used by runners, cyclists, and pilots, down for a fifth day. Now, obviously, this hacker is a bad guy, but it underscores one of the weaknesses of having everything go through the internet to a central server, and that is that it can be interrupted. I'll give you a good example. On the iPhone, there is a very nice mapping system. And it works really well to get you from point A to point B as long as you're within range of a cell tower. But if you're way out in the boonies or the cell tower system goes down, the mapping tool stops working properly, as opposed to GPS mapping tools that are totally self-contained in the device, such as, there used to be one called Navigon. They got bought by Garmin. But that one, the maps were all internal, and you could keep on going even if you were out of touch with the cell tower system. I mean, you had to manually update your maps and everything. But I'd rather have standalone systems and everything networked together for this very reason. If everything's networked together, then anybody who can crack that network, they have tremendous amounts of power. They really do. Okay, remember Dr. Anthony Fauci? He did the first pitch at a baseball game, and apparently he just threw the ball wildly out of line here. They actually made a baseball card of him, and apparently it has topped records for sales in just 24 hours. Everybody wants one of these. And the Topps Now limited edition baseball trading card featuring Dr. Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, set an all-time print record run for the franchise, 51,512 cards. I guess it's still probably to a bit more, but Fauci's pitch was well off the mark and hurtled short and to the left of the home plate circle. Should have practiced a little bit more. Okay, this is really kind of cool, but we're going to take a commercial break here. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about this next Mars mission. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. But before we take any phone calls, I want to get to this story because this is kind of cool. And you all know I'm ex-NASA, and I have a special affinity for the planet Mars. And NASA's getting ready to launch the Perseverance rover to Mars. In fact, I think the launch is tomorrow, if I remember correctly. And one of the cool things is they're doing, they're taking a helicopter along to Mars. Now, it's a little tiny helicopter, and it's really a proof of concept demonstrator because it's robotic, and it has to be because, you know, under the best of conditions, it's 20 minutes between you touch a control here on Earth and you get a response on Mars. So what they're going to do is they're just going to start saying, okay, do a hop that's 6 inches forward, then try to do a hop that's a couple of feet forward, and just basically prove that this is going to work. And then in future missions, they'll take along a lot larger helicopter that can go out and take more pictures, do sample return, and reach areas where the rover cannot. So this is really very, very cool, and I wish them a lot of luck. So anyway, the helicopter weighs 4 pounds. It's called Ingenuity, and apparently a few months after touchdown, will attempt to fly solo. Once dropping out of the Martian surface, Ingenuity will start out like a baby bird, rising 10 feet into the planet's thin atmosphere and flying forward up to 6 feet. With each attempt, it will attempt to go higher and further. Okay, let's take a phone call. Al in Canada. Aloha, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. That helicopter sounds a lot like Mission to Mars, that movie they made in 2000.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It really sounds like that. But the thing with the helicopter, it's very maneuverable. Right? You're basically kind of hovering in the air.
Yes.
This GPS, right?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, Mike, I'm old school. I like a compass, and I like a map.
Yep.
And I use my eyes to read, you know, the signs of where I am. And that seems to do pretty well.
Well, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and I grew up in an age where knowing how to use a sextant and a chronometer was your key to getting from point A to point B. But the convenience of having a GPS system play through the Apple Play into the car display is pretty good because you don't have to enter latitude and longitude. You can say, you know, which way to this restaurant, and it'll lay out the path on the roadway, and that's something you can't get with a compass and a map.
Right. You're absolutely correct. I agree with you 100%. Here's the thing. You get these tree huggers, right?
Yes.
They've lost their mind on this CO2 thing. But yet there they are tapping away on their phones and all the other gizmos they got, right?
Yeah.
Where the old school stuff is way greener.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about that. Simply, like a simpler life is less stressful to our environment. No one even mentions that.
Okay, Al, would you stay on the line? Al,
sure.
Stay on the line. We've got to take a break for station identification, and we'll be right back. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.